Well, in Matthew chapter 26, we'll begin reading in verse 17. Now, on the first day of the feast of the unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying to him, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And he said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand. I'll keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'" And so the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When evening had come, he sat down with the 12. Now as they were eating, he said, "Assuredly I say to you, one of you will betray me." And they were exceedingly sorrowful. And each of them began to say to him, "Lord, is it I?" He answered and said, "He who dipped his hand with me in the dish will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he'd not been born." Well, then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, "Rabbi, is it I?" And he said to him, "You have said it." And as they were eating, Jesus took bread. He blessed it and he broke it. And he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Jesus told his disciples to eat, to take, to drink. We eat the bread and we drink the cup each time we celebrate the Christian ordinance of communion. But what we call communion was only a small snippet, a small segment of a larger feast. Every Passover for the last 3,500 years, Jewish families have participated in what they call a Seder. It just simply means order. Around the table, the family performs rituals and practices traditions that provide profound meaning and spiritual symbolism. And the Passover Seder allows Jewish families to celebrate today. What they celebrate today hasn't changed a whole lot from the Last Supper that our Lord Jesus celebrated with his disciples. Not just the bread and the cup, but every move that Jesus made that night spoke of his work for you and for me. We learn much from participating in a Passover Seder. Paul even compares Passover to the Christian life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 7 and 8, Paul writes, "Therefore, purge out the old leaven," that's a tradition associated with Passover, as we'll see, "that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, not with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." And if we're going to live out the Passover in our daily lives, as Jesus tells us, we need to know what that involves. Well, preparations for the Passover began 4 days earlier. On the Jewish calendar, Nisan the 10th. On that day, the Passover lamb was selected. On the Sunday prior to Passover, each family would choose a lamb to be sacrificed. It was an unblemished lamb. It was their very best, the pick of the litter. The lamb was sacrificed to God, and then it was eaten at the Passover meal. You know, I've always wanted to bring a lamb to the Passover, and so I got one tied up backstage here, and Bentley, can you come up? Where's Bentley? Bentley, hurry, come up here. I'm putting you in charge of this lamb. Come here. Be careful now. I want you to just Try to grab, pull it out there if you can. Pull it out if you can. Pull it out if you can. Oh, there it is. Well, I tell you what, can you get it? Can you carry it back? Like kind of like a shepherd? Kind of, can you carry it back and hold on to it for the rest of the Seder, okay? All right, great, good. Look at him jump off. Wow. All right. I always wanted to do that. Have an actual lamb here at the Passover. Well, the nation Israel also chose a lamb for Passover. It was Selection Sunday, 32 AD, that Jesus made his glorious march into the city of Jerusalem, his triumphant entry. You remember Zechariah predicted that Messiah would come riding into the city on the back of a donkey. Daniel 9, written nearly 500 years in advance, predicted the precise day that Messiah would present himself to the nation. Jesus entered Jerusalem on the predicted day. The crowd cheered. They laid their palm branches across the path. They hailed Jesus, the Messiah. But the Jews didn't recognize, they didn't realize that they were actually selecting a sacrificial lamb. Well, not only did the family select a lamb to be sacrificed at Passover, other preparations were made. Matthew 26, verse 17 tells us, "Now on the first day of the feast of the unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying to him, 'Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?' And he said, 'Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, "The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples."' So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover." But how do you prepare for a Passover? What arrangements were made? Well, the top priority in the family's Passover preparation was to purge the house of leaven. The leaven, or the chametz, was any grain or flour interjected into with a leavening agent for longer than 18 minutes. That's the time it takes for fermentation to happen. According to Jewish law, in making the matzah, or the unleavened bread, the dough had to be baked in less than 18 minutes, or it was not considered kosher. It was off limits. And removing the leaven was an important Passover symbol. For throughout the Bible, leaven or yeast is a type of sin. Think about it. Leaven is a souring agent. And likewise, sin sours our lives. It spoils the plans God has for us. Leaven also corrupts by puffing up. And at the heart of the word sin is what? It's I. It's the letter I. Because sin corrupts by inflaming our pride, by puffing ourselves up. Well, before the Passover can be celebrated, it's necessary to rid the house of all the leaven. That night, the family canvasses every inch of the home looking for the leaven. And this was a fun time for the kids. This was part of their celebration. They helped with the purging of the leaven. The father starts the search with a prayer. "Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with thy commandments and commanded us to remove all leaven from our house." The disposal of the leaven was also a procedure full of purpose. The leaven gets raked into a paper bag with a feather and a spoon, and then that bag is burned. And this is a picture of what happens in our lives as a result of us embracing our Passover, Jesus Christ. The feather represents the Holy Spirit. You remember the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus in the form of a dove. The wooden spoon represents the nature of Jesus. There's nothing fancy, there's nothing golden or ornate about this wooden spoon. It's humble. It's simple. It's unpretentious. All that Jesus was when he came to earth. The bag speaks of the body of Jesus. It's interesting. All the leaven gets placed into this one bag. And all of the sin from all of the world, from all of time, got placed in the person of Jesus Christ. He became our once and for all sacrifice for sin. And then the fire speaks of judgment. And in the context of Christ, it speaks of his death on the cross. The fires of God's judgment consumed our sin at the crucifixion. Through the work of Christ on the cross and the power of his Spirit, sin is swept from our lives when we become humble and repentant and trust in Jesus and follow in his pattern. Well, this is what the Father does. He takes the feather and the spoon with the bag and there's leaven. He finds some leaven in the house. And he grabs I always have a hard time doing this. And he grabs the feather, and with the feather, the conviction of the Holy Spirit, he takes all the leaven, he puts it in the bag, and then he lights a match. This is so much fun. Right here in the church. He starts burning the bag. And it takes a couple of matches. These are Gentile matches. If these were Jewish matches, this thing would have gone up the first try. There we go. There we go. Well, after the leaven is burned up, the Father utters the following words. Any leaven that is in my possession, which I have not seen, have not removed, and do not know about, should be annulled and become ownerless like the dust of the earth. Well, the day of the Passover occurred each year on the Jewish calendar, Nisan the 14th. One historian writes of this wonderful feast, making sure we get put out over here. We're okay. Just as long as we don't set off any sprinklers, we're good. We hope. Where's Pastor James, just in case? There you go. Okay, you got 911 on your... Okay, good. One historian writes of this wonderful feast, the Passover. 3,500 years of slavery, tyranny, dispersion, and the Holocaust have never stopped the miracle of Passover. For Passover, everything is decorated white, as you see across the table here. The linen, the candles, the dishes that adorn the tabletop. It's all white. Revelation 19 tells us the color white represents the righteousness of the saints. It reads, "To her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." Well, first up, the robe or the kittel was worn by the Father. He acted in the role of the priest, who also wore a white robe. And I've got my robe here. I had a nice little silky robe, and I took it home to get washed, and I left a pin in it, and it turned purple. And so now I've got this robe. It's kind of terry cloth robe, but it does the job. It works. It's good. There we go. The Father also wore another priestly item. He wore a mitre or a crown on his head. Now, I don't have a crown, but I do have a yarmulke. As a matter of fact, I have two yarmulkes. I bought these in a little yarmulke shop right off Ben Yehuda Street in Jerusalem. And I got me, first of all, my Georgia Bulldog yarmulke. Thought about wearing that one tonight. But not everybody's a Georgia Bulldog fan, so I probably won't. But then I got an Atlanta Braves yarmulke. Yeah, we're all Atlanta Braves fans. And so I thought what we'd do is we'd wear the Braves yarmulke tonight. And there we go. There we go. There we go. It'll stay. It's also called a kippah. It's the dome. The yarmulke is worn by the Jews to remind them that mankind is not alone in the universe, that God created us. Guess what? He dwells above us, and he watches over us, and we live our lives under his authority and under his protection. That's what that yarmulke stands for. I see some of you have your yarmulke on tonight. And finally, each person at the Passover table has a pillow. And this is for Jews that snooze. A pillow. Actually, in ancient times, people would eat their food in a reclining position. And so they would position the pillow so they could prop themselves up, you know, as they ate their meal. Well, the Passover begins with the lighting of the candles. And the mother of the family is given the honor to come forward and to light the Passover candles. And I think tonight we'll give that honor to Blanche. Blanche, would you like to come and light the candles? Good. Good. Great. Yeah, come on, helper Bill. Good. All right, good. Here you go, Blanche. I'll let you start with this one right here. And these are, again, these are Gentile matches, so it may take more than one. There you go. Great. Wonderful. She's a pro. Now, Blanche, you got to read a blessing as you do this. Where's that? Here we go, right here. And you got to get a microphone. Here we go. And read that blessing.
Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, ruler of the universe, who has sanctified us by the commandments and commanded us to kindle the light of the holy day.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. We got one more candle over there now. There we go. Great. Right here. This one right here. Great. Where'd you go, Bill?
I know, it's because Blanche means white.
Blanche means white. You're right. Beautiful. Well done. Well done. Thank you, ma'am. Great. Come on, Bill. Blanche. There we go. Great. Good. Very good. Great. Well, next, the father of the family leads the Seder. And so he lifts high, oh, here we go. He lifts high the Seder plate, and he issues the call to worship. You can follow along there on your Haggadah. This is the bread of poverty which our fathers ate in Egypt. Whoever is hungry, come and eat. Whoever is distressed, come and celebrate Passover with us. This year we are here. Next year, in the land of Israel. This year we celebrate as slaves, next year as free. Well, next comes the cup of sanctification. And this is one of four cups of wine that we serve during the Seder. The dad holds up the cup and he leads in a lengthy prayer of dedication called the Kadash, which is a derivative of our word holy, or cleansing or pure. It's recited by all, so you'll have to join with me as we hold it up and as we read it. Everybody ready? Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, who chose us from all peoples to make us a nation of priests before you. In love hast thou given us, O Lord our God, Sabbaths for rest and holidays and festivals for rejoicing. We thank you for the feast of unleavened bread in remembrance of your gift of freedom and deliverance from Egypt. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has kept us alive, who has sustained us and brought us to this season. At this point, everyone washes their hands. And they do it in a very, very special way. They take the water and they pour it out at their wrists and they let it roll down their fingers. And they do it in a very deliberate and a patient manner because as they're doing this, they're meditating and they're thinking of the ways that they want the Lord's cleansing in their life. That they not only want their hands to be cleansed, but they want their heart and their mind and all of their lives to be cleansed. And so they wash their hands before the meal. And for you kids, it's a good idea to just wash your hands before the meal anyway. Of course, in John chapter 13, at this point in the Seder that Jesus celebrated with his disciples, Jesus not only washed his hands, but what did he also wash? He washed the disciples' feet. That's right. A true symbolic act of a true servant. You know, two types of cleansing appear in the Passover. The washing of blood, which affects the inner man. You know, the inner person. Our spiritual nature. But also the washing of water. We see it several times. It symbolizes the cleansing of our thoughts, in our attitudes, in our conduct. Well, next the Father does something very, very important for the Seder. He hides the aphikomen, or the dessert, the hidden matzah, we call it. Beside the Father's place at the table is a linen envelope. And in this linen envelope, it has three compartments. Each sleeve contains a sheet of matzah bread. What he does is he takes out the center sheet of the three. He breaks it in pieces. And then he wraps it up in a napkin. Like so. And then he goes and he hides. He hides this little linen wrap with all this piece of matzah, and he hides it in a... You kids need to close your eyes. Nobody needs to see where I'm hiding this. Elliot, I see you looking. You got to close your eyes. Everybody close their eyes. Okay. You'll never know where it is. You'll never know where it is. Okay. All right. We got to come back to that later in the Seder. We come back to that. Then the Father presents the matzah of hope. While the nation of Israel was enslaved in Egypt, they suffered in great bondage. And throughout most of their history, the Jews have suffered persecution. Anti-Semitism has been a problem. Even today, as Israel fights against forces bent on their destruction, protesters worldwide seethe in hatred and they want to deny the Jews even their state's right to exist. It's fitting that at every Passover Seder, a sheet of matzah is set aside in memory of those who are being persecuted even today. They're persecuted Jews all around the world. And this year, we should use our matzah of hope as a reminder to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, even in the midst of the war that's currently going on in the Middle East. Well, next, the youngest child at the Seder asks a series of four questions. Now, you remember in Jesus' day at the table, as they were at the table, who do you think would have stepped up to ask the four questions? Well, it probably would have been the Apostle John. He was the youngest of the group. But tonight what I'd like to do is invite four of the little guys to come up here. You got to be able to read to come up here. Abby, you need to be one. Abigail, you need to be one. And then come on, Chris. Chris has got to be one. They go to Calvary Chapel Christian School, so I know they can read. Come on, Levi. Who else? And okay. Carrie, one of your little ones wants to come. Come on, Bentley. Okay, great. Good. All right, guys. Here we go. Okay. All right. Now, y'all spin around where your mom and daddy can see and be proud of you. Back up a little bit. All right, good. That's good. All right, you get this question. All right? All right, here we go. Miss Abigail Turpin.
Do I read the question?
You read the question.
Why is this night distinguished from all other nights? On this night, we eat only unleavened bread.
Wonderful. Levi Houston.
On all other nights, we eat any kind of herbs, but on this night, only bitter herbs. Why?
Good question. Chris James.
On all other nights, why do we not dip? But tonight, we dip twice. Why?
Good question. Bentley Yeager.
On this night, we all recline in our chairs at the table. Why?
Good question. All right, go back down and I'll answer those questions. Great. Very well done. The Jewish people understand the importance of communicating to their children the foundations of their faith. In fact, so much of the Passover celebration involved the children. And we should take a cue from the Jews. We should instill in our kids the same foundation for their faith. In fact, this Easter, let me encourage you parents that are here tonight to try to think of some new and creative ways to bring your kids into the reality of Jesus' resurrection. Well, next, the Father, he plays off of those four questions that were asked to retell the story of the Exodus. He recounts how God heard the prayers of his people in Egypt, and he raised up a deliverer to set his people free. After 40 years on the backside of the wilderness, God sent Moses to demand the Pharaoh, "Let my people go." At times, Pharaoh hardened his heart. At other times, God hardened the Pharaoh's heart. The Father recounts the 10 plagues that God sent on Egypt. And then the final plague that broke the Pharaoh's stubbornness. And God proved his superiority over all the idols of Egypt. That final plague was the death angel who brought to the firstborn of all Egypt judgment. The only family spared that night of the loss of their firstborn were those who trusted in God's promise and spread the blood of a lamb on the doorposts and thresholds of their houses. The death plague passed over their house, thus the name Passover. It was God's way of providing a means of salvation for his people. The father of the family also recounts how God parted the Red Sea, and he fed his people in the wilderness, and he brought them into the land that he had promised them. And after retelling the story of the Exodus, the Father takes the second cup of the Passover, the cup of wrath, and he pours 10 drops of wine into his plate. And those 10 drops represent, of course, the 10 plagues. And with each drop of wine tonight, in unison, I want the family to list the next plague. First plague was what? Water to blood. So here we go. You ready? Yep. Whoa, wait a minute. Don't get ahead of daddy. All right. There we go. We get them? All 10? Now comes the symbols of the Passover. These are the items on the Seder plate eaten by the family during the celebration. They're symbols, but understand they're much more than just symbolic. The Jewish Midrash, or the teaching of the rabbis, taught the Jews to put themselves in the shoes of their forefathers. And in the Seder, they're to relive emotionally the strain of bondage and the joy of their liberty. You weren't supposed to celebrate Passover as much with your head as with your heart. You were to approach it as if you had been there with Moses. You were supposed to feel the Passover, feel the emotions of what was going on in Egypt and the thrill then of coming out and being set free. There were 7 symbols of the Exodus on the Passover plate. The first was the matzah, or the unleavened bread. Then there was the zeruah, or the lamb shank bone. And Allie went to where this year? Wilkes Butcher Shop. There we go, to get a shank bone. She has to go to a different place every year. Usually she goes down to, I thought you used to go down to Brookhaven down there where the Jewish community is down there to get them. You had to do that 1 year, I think, didn't you? Yeah, oh, okay, yeah. Then there's the carpus, or the parsley, that you dip into the salt water. Remember how Jesus identified his betrayer? He said, he who has dipped his hand with me? We're going to dip the parsley in just a moment. Then there's the maror, or the horseradish. This was the bitter herbs spoken of by Moses. Then the kereset, which is the sweet stuff. You'll enjoy that in a minute. And then there's the batsha, or the roasted egg. So much of the instructions that Christians receive today comes through preaching and teaching. And because it involves only our minds, it's somewhat limited. The Passover celebration, though, is so powerful because it involves all 5 senses. God wants us to not only hear of our salvation, but to taste it and to touch it and to smell it and to see it. And this is what the Passover does. It employs all of our senses to discover the wonder and to appreciate the grace that God has bestowed upon us. And we're going to give you that opportunity tonight as well. Well, first on the plate is the matzah, or the bread of affliction. Unleavened bread spoke of both haste and holiness. Without sin is the familiar symbolism of the unleavened bread. But understand, it also symbolized faith. The night before they departed from Egypt, the Hebrews left the leaven out of the bread. Why? Because they believed that God's deliverance would occur before the bread could rise. It was an act of faith to produce the unleavened bread. Second was the zeruah, or the lamb's unbroken shank bone. Exodus 12, verse 46, specified that the bones of the Passover lamb were not to be broken. It's interesting, too, Psalm 34, verse 20, predicted that not one of Messiah's bones would be broken. And of course, this was fulfilled on the cross. Roman policy was to break the victim's legs and thus hasten his death. But you remember when the soldiers saw that Jesus was already dead, he withheld that breaking blow, thus satisfying the Old Testament prophecy and the symbolism of Passover. Well, the third item on the Seder plate is the carpus, or the parsley. And it was dipped twice in the salt water. Why? Because there were 2 crossings of the Red Sea, 2 dippings into the water. The Jews dipped into the waters and they came up on the other side on dry land. But when the Egyptians dipped into the sea, what happened to them? They drowned. Moses lifted up his rod and the waters returned, devouring their army. And thus, after you dip the second time the parsley, you take it in you and you devour it. Okay, let's have a few people come up and try the parsley. And so let's see what we can do. I'm going to let Jeffrey decide which Turpin kid gets to come up here. They all want to. And then Chris James can come. No, Chris James, I'm saving you for something else. We need some adults. We need some adults to come up. Come on, hurry. Come on, Logan, hurry. The guy in the very top on the last row wants to come. Come on, Logan. Who else wants to come? Here we go. And we need one. Come on. Yeah. You on the back row? Yeah, right there. Yeah, you. You look like my grandson, but you're not. Yeah, you can come too. Yeah, great. You guys, come on. Great. You ready? All right, come around here. Come around here in front. Don't burn yourself. All right, get your piece of parsley. All right. Now, how many times are you going to dip? Two. Okay, and then what are you going to do with it when you dip the second time? Devour it. All right, go. Right? No, not in the juice. No. Here we go. Come on, Danielle. Have you never dipped with your boys before? Do it. Go ahead. Dip it twice. Pull it out. All right, now dip it again. All right, good. Now devour it. Stick it in your mouth. Stick it all the way. Just stick it in. There you go. Stick it all the way on in. Go ahead and stick it all in. There you go. Good. Come on. Get you a piece of parsley. There we go. Got to dip it how many times? Two. Good. One. Two. Now devour it. There you go. Oh, yeah. There you go. Great. Okay, great. Sean's a man. Well, that's too much. There you go. There you go. Go ahead. That'll be good. That'll be fun to watch. No, twice. No.
Oh, I thought you said, twice.
No, don't double dip. Don't double dip. Sorry, guys. Go ahead. Dip it twice. There you go. Now. Stick it in there. There you go. Beautiful. Okay, be nice. Let's be nice to her.
I'm kind of scared.
You're going to be fine. There you go. Oh, there we go. Good. Twice. There we go. Good. You got to devour it. Oh, yeah. Yeah, there you go. Great. Good. All right, young man, you got it. You know what we're doing. Okay. We need a real devouring, though. When you do that second dip, now devour it. Oh, yeah. There you go. Okay, good. Very good. Great. Good, you're good. All right, Logan. It's all you, man. Come on. Go for it. Twice. Good. There you go. Great. Good. All right. Okay, fourth on the plate is the maror, or the horseradish. This was the bitter herbs that Moses spoke of. He told the Jews to eat at Passover. Now understand, kosher horseradish is pretty hot. The idea is that it should bring tears to your eyes. And the tears should be a reminder of the bitterness of our bondage. You know, sometimes after we've been a Christian for a while, our sins have been forgiven, we've been walking with the Lord, we forget the pain that sin caused and the bondage that sin resulted from sin. And so it's a good reminder to us to remember the bitterness and the pain that we experienced before we knew Christ when we were still in bondage. And so we'll have a few of you come up and take some of the horseradish. So, all right. Come on, Jack. Oh, Rachel, come on. Come on, come on, Emma. Come around right here. Come around right here. Y'all line up in front of that. There we go, right there. Come on, Princess. Come on. There's somebody else I want to come. Is Noah here? Oh, yeah, Noah needs to come up here for this. Okay, here we go. Are you ready? Yeah, chew it up. Oh, boy. That's a brave young man. Keep that camera on him. Here we go, Rachel. All right, Big Jet. Pile it on, pile it. I hear somebody saying, pile it on, pile it on. All right, Jackster. Oh, no problem. No problem at all. Here we go. We know this is kind of the double whammy because when Allie went to get the matzah crackers, they didn't have plain crackers. They only had garlic flavored. So this is garlic flavored on top of horseradish. So here we go. No problem with that guy. Yeah, look at that. Good. Here you go, Emma. Get a picture of her right here. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All right, look at this. Miss Princess, I'm piling it on. All right, Princess, here we go. Now stand right here. I want you to take it, put it in your mouth, chew it up, enjoy it. Go ahead. Go all the way. Stick it all, just stick it in. Just stick it in. Okay, Olivia.
Okay. I love this stuff.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll give you a little bit more.
We'll see how strong this one is.
There you go, young lady. Great. Pretty good? Pretty good? All right, great, 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 great. Whoa, 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 whoa. Get a shot of this. All right, Noah. Noah might be the practical joker of CBI, so it was a little time to. A little payback there for all the people that have been. Well, fifth is the chair set. It's a combination of cinnamon and walnuts and honey and apples. It's the sweet stuff. This is sweet to the taste. I like to call it the Hebrew nut and honey. And so, come on, come on, come on. Who else? You two guys up in the top, send them both. I can't do that to the parents. I can't do that. Okay, sweetheart, you come on. Come on. Great. Great, here we go. Okay. All right, Elliot, I'm going to let you come. Okay, I need a couple of adults. Come on, Carol. Yeah. Come on, Bert. Yeah. All right. Here we go. All right. Are you ready? Well, Elliot, you go last. You go last, Elliot. Come stand right here. Here you go, sweetheart. Oh yeah, and you gotta stay. Let us see what you look like when you eat it. This is the good stuff now. Okay, great. Try to eat it. All right. What do you think it's gonna taste like? It's gonna be so good. All right. All right, Caro. There we go. Good. You're welcome. Hannah, where were you with the horseradish? There you go. Josie. There you go. Come on. Not you. You got to wait, Elliot. There we go. Got it? All right, Bert.
This is the good stuff, you know? I don't want that one.
We don't want to waste any of these, Bert.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. But he licked the stuff off.
He licked the good stuff off, and he left a cracker.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, now Elliot is going to give us. He's going to give us the true demonstration here of how this is supposed to work, because the first thing he's going to have is this horseradish. He's going to have a little horseradish first. And watch his face when he eats a horseradish. Ooh, it doesn't any hot, burning, bitter. That's kind of like our sin when we didn't know Jesus and we were just living like on our own. Oh, my. It's rough, isn't it? That rough? You okay? All right. But you're worried about him. But then, when Jesus comes into our life, then we get this sweet stuff. And we're anxious to get it, aren't we? We're anxious to get it. Thank you, Elliot. You're a good man. Thank you. Well, the sixth item is the betza, or the roasted egg. In the New Testament temple, an egg was offered as a peace offering. But when the Roman legion destroyed the temple in 70 AD, the temple became a roasted egg, a reminder of the burning of the temple and the end of its worship. It too was dipped in the salt to stress the bitterness of the destruction of the temple and of that event. The egg was also an ancient symbol of new birth. We still employ eggs at Easter time because we want to recognize the resurrection of Jesus and the new life that he brings. And through the Exodus, Israel was born again. Literally, the Hebrew people became a new people, a new nation. And we as Christians have also received a new birth, a spiritual birth through the work of Jesus. 1 Peter 2, verse 9 refers to us as a holy nation, God's own special people. And so we got a few eggs here that we need to dip in the salt. So do we have anybody who wants to eat the eggs? Send us a couple. You Turpins in Houston, send us a couple of your guys. And you two, all the way to the top there, you guys come on down. And you come. Come on. Yeah. And you girls up there come. That's great. Or guys too. I'm sorry. You guys come. Okay. All right, come around front. All right, grab an egg. Dip it in the salt. Dip in the salt water. Oh, dip it down in the salt water. There you go. Now. All right, great. All right, Levi. Get you an egg. Dip in the salt water. All right, great, great, great. Hey, girls. Is there anything else you want to try first? Get you an egg. There you go. Great. Dip it in the salt water. Great. Now, there you go. That's your sister, I hope. Good, 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 good. Okay, good. Help yourself. Good. Hey. All right, great. Oh, piece of cake. Great, great, great. Brittany, come back here. You're getting married soon, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
Wonderful. Well, did y'all hear that? Did you hear Brittany's getting married? Is that your...
it's my fiance. Really.
That's your fiance right there?
Yes, sir.
How about that? Hey, congratulations. You made a wise choice. Good. Lord, we pray for Brittany and what's his name?
Nathan.
And Mason.
Nathan.
Mason?
Nathan.
Nathan.
Yes, sir.
We pray for Brittany. We pray for Nathan. We pray your blessing on their lives. And as they prepare their hearts for their wedding and for their marriage, Lord, we pray you'll bless them, draw them closer together. And Lord, help them see what marriage is all about and the changes that they need to make to prepare themselves for it. Lord, it's a wonderful thing when two become one, and we pray you'll bless their union. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Great, 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 great. Okay, come on, guys. Great, great, great. Okay, good. Good, good, good. Great. We just got about four or five more folks coming. All right. Good, good, good. Okay, young man, go ahead. Whoa, 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 wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. Go ahead, go ahead, go ahead. This young man right here, he needs a little of this horseradish first. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Now finish it off with one of those eggs. There you go. Great, great, great. All right. Good. Y'all go ahead. Well, yep, just dip it in the water. Whoa, John. Wait a minute, John. Wait a minute, John. Horseradish, nut and honey. Horseradish, we give you the nut and honey. Okay. No.
No, do the horseradish, bro. They already said it.
There you go. Go ahead. Go ahead. Well, get you. Okay, get you. I don't want to. All right.
I got to get the whole experience, you know what I'm saying?
I got you. We're going to give you the whole deal. Here's your horseradish. Is It's supposed to be a little bitter, John. It's supposed to be a little bitter. What do you think? Yeah? Okay. Now get you an egg and dip it in the salt water. Good, because that's supposed to remind you of the Exodus. Great. You're a new creation in Christ. You're eating that egg. It's newness. Newness. And then you need to enjoy that cracker right there, John. They got the whole experience right there. All right, wonderful. Great. Yeah. Okay, after the symbols of the Passover, the father sings a song, Dayenu. And since I don't do this as good as Bert does, we'll have Bert come up and do this. Come on, Bert. Come on, Bert. The word Dayenu means it is enough. It is enough. The idea here is that God has been so good to us. If all God ever did for us is die on the cross, send his son to die on the cross, it would have been enough. But he's done so much more than that for us as well. We're going to let you read it. Bert's going to read the verses, and then we're going to chime in. Dayenu. Oh, you don't know it in English. You know it in Hebrew?
I do.
You want to do it in Hebrew?
Yeah.
All right.
You can follow in English.
All right,
okay.
Follow along.
I'll do the first verse, and then we'll do Dayenu. So Dayenu sounds like the Burger King song, if you remember that special orders, don't upset us. So I'll show you. So the verse goes like this. Ilu hotzi hotzianu, hotzianu mi mitraim, hotzianu mi mitraim, Dayenu. Everybody else goes, Dayenu. Dayenu, 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 Dayenu. And I don't know the second verse.
You did the first verse very good.
Thank you. I've done it for probably 50 years. So, yes, it would have been enough. It would have been more than enough. But then he met our every need in desert life. For 40 years, he did provide. He sent us food. He sent us water. He made our clothes to last throughout the length of years. And then we sing Dayenu.
Dayenu.
Dayenu. Dayenu. Die, Dayenu, 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 die, Dayenu, die, Dayenu, die, Dayenu, Dayenu, Dayenu. Hey!
Hey, all right.
Thank you, Bert.
There was a third verse. Got to come back next year for the third verse. Well, the singing is followed by the Passover meal. The Passover family, they eat the lamb that they chose earlier in the week. And it was a festive meal, very similar to our Thanksgiving. After dinner, it's time for dessert. The afikoman, you remember the afikoman that we broke apart and we wrapped up in the linen and we hid it in a place that nobody can find it. Well, it needs to be retrieved. And so we need one of the kids who that young man, right? There you go. Tell me your name. Levi. All right, Levi, you got to find the dessert. You got to find the afikoman. It's hidden. I'm sure. Oh my, what? Okay, all right, great. Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Whoa. And then the father always gives him a piece of candy. There you go. Thank you. Good. All right. And it was at this point, understand, it was at this point in the feast that Jesus revolutionized the Passover Seder. He took a 1,500-year-old tradition and he suddenly gave it totally new meaning. Jesus took the bread, the afikoman. It represented Israel's faith in the wilderness, in the God's deliverance of them, and then in the wilderness. He blessed it, he broke it, and then he gave it to his disciples. Jesus made a remarkable statement. When he held it up to his lips, he said, "Take, eat. this is my body. This is not your wilderness experience, not any longer. This is my body, which was broken for you. This is my body, my sacrifice that we're now celebrating. Remember, the afikoman was the middle loaf of the three. Jesus, the Son of God, is the middle person of the Trinity. It was wrapped in a single cloth or in a napkin, a linen napkin. When Jesus was buried, he was wrapped in linen grave clothes. God is one God, and yet he's three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The afikoman's the middle sheet in the napkin. And Jesus is the middle person of the Godhead. He was first taken out, and Jesus was taken out of heaven and came to earth, the incarnation. He was then broken. He was broken so that we could be healed. He was broken on the cross, the crucifixion. Then he was wrapped in linen or grave clothes, which represents the burial of Jesus. Later, the bread is discovered by the Father's children. What do we call that? The resurrection. And then he's given to the people to consume, to fortify them, to strengthen them. That's the gospel. And finally, when he's eaten, we discover he's sweet to the taste. He's like dessert. Jesus is even sweeter than candy. Jesus is the bread of life. He's our strength, our sustenance. He quenches our spiritual hunger. He is sweet, sweeter than candy. He satisfies our spiritual sweet tooth. He is delicious enough to be our portion forever and ever and ever. Now, I want you to look closely. Well, you don't have a piece. I want you to look closely at this matzah. You got it on the screen? The matzah up on the screen? I want you to look closely at the matzah. Have you ever wondered what Jesus looked like? Anybody ever wondered? Well, did you know we have a snapshot of Jesus? This matzah is the only snapshot that we have of Jesus Christ. And I want you to behold it. I want you to see what Jesus looks like. We can see it right here. First of all, he's unleavened, or he's sinless. No impurities were found in Jesus. Notice the bumpiness. It highlights how his face was beaten and bruised for you and me. The stripes on that piece of matzah reminds us of how his back was whipped with lashes, with 39 strikes of the flagellum. And then the holes, notice on that matzah, are the pierce marks, the reminder of the wounds that Jesus suffered in his brow, in his hands, in his feet, in his side. Isaiah 53 tells us he was wounded for our transgressions. Notice in verse 26 here, we're told that Jesus took the bread and he blessed it. Have you ever wondered what he said when he blessed it? Well, throughout the long histories and centuries of Hebrew history, this blessing has always remained the same. The Father states, "Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who bringest forth bread from the earth." It's interesting that Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem, which means house of bread. He called himself the bread of life. And when he rose from the dead, God brought bread from the earth. This is why Paul refers to Jesus as the first fruits of our resurrection. The hidden matzah spoke to us of our Savior, Jesus Christ. In a moment, we're going to eat the bread and we're going to remember Jesus. But next came the third cup of the evening, the cup of redemption. Everyone took this cup. And then Jesus revolutionizes this Jewish tradition even further. For centuries, this cup of wine had represented the blood of the Passover lamb. But here in verse 28, Jesus holds up the cup and he tells his disciples, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." This cup now spoke of the ultimate sacrifice, which the Passover foreshadowed, the blood of God's only Son, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. Recall on the last night in Egypt, the salvation of the Hebrews had nothing to do with their conduct, their behavior, their virtue. It had nothing to do with the character of the people living inside the house. Their deliverance was based solely on whether or not the promise had been trusted and the blood had been applied to the doorposts and the headers of the home. And this speaks to us today. Eternal life, a right standing with God, depends not on your own merit or your own good works. It is totally dependent on whether or not you have faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. Have you believed in Jesus? Have you applied the blood of Jesus to the doorposts of your heart? That's the only thing that can save us. In verse 27, Jesus gave thanks. Here's the liturgy that he used. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, creator of the fruit of the vine. You remember in John 15, Jesus is depicted as the true vine, and we're his branches. A vine is a symbol of fruitfulness and joy, fitting descriptions, fitting analogies of our experiences with Jesus. And so we'll also drink of the cup in just a few seconds. Well, tonight we're going to serve ourselves communion, and we're going to participate in communion. You'll get a chance to take the bread and drink the wine. We'll all come forward to do that. And while we're doing it, we've got our CBI choir, what are we calling you guys? We called them the Dixie Chicks the other day, but that wasn't a fitting name. And so we've got a better name for them now. Abigail and the Gilgals. All right. They're going to sing. Why don't we all stand? As they start singing, why don't you come forward and you can take of the bread and of the wine. Great.
Jesus, you endured my pain. Savior, you bore all my shame. All because of Maker of the universe, broken for the sins of the earth, all because of your love, all because of your love, because of your cross, my debt is paid. Because of your blood, my sins are washed away. Now all of my life I freely give. Because of your love, because of your love I captives free, all because of your love. Lord, you gave your life for mine, so I will live my life for you, all because of your because of your love, because of your cross, my debt is paid, because of your blood, my sins are washed away, now all of my life I freely give, because of your love. Because of your love, because of your love, my dear. depths of your blood, my sins are washed away. Now all of my life I freely give because of your love, because of your love I live.
You did it for me, you did it for love, it's your victory. Jesus, you are enough. You did it for me. You did it for love. It's your victory. Jesus, you are enough.
Oh, you did it for me. You did it for love. It's your victory. Jesus, you are enough.
Okay, if you haven't taken of it yet, if you'll just hold up the bread and let's pray together. Lord, thank you for the work you've done on the cross, the sacrifice you made for me. Tonight, Lord, I once again recommit myself to my Savior, my Lord. Be king over my heart. Wash me clean once again, Lord. Fill me with your Spirit. I do this in remembrance of Jesus. And if you'll take the cup and hold it up, Lord, thank you for the blood that was shed for me, your blood. Lord, thank you for the cleansing that comes from Calvary that has flowed through the centuries all the way down to my life and to my heart. Thank you that you've washed away all my sin and that I'm spotless in your sight. And I praise the King of Kings, my Lord Jesus, for all of this. And I do this in remembrance of you. All right, you may be seated. It was then that Jesus said to his disciples in verse 29, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Here's a promise that we can't really appreciate without some insight into Jewish culture. You know, today in America, a couple moves from engagement straight into marriage. But in Jesus' day, there was an interval, an intermittent step called betrothal. During the betrothal period, the couple was considered legally married. In fact, if they split, it required a bill of divorcement. They were married in terms of commitment, but they were not allowed to live together, not yet. They were not allowed to enjoy the sexual pleasures, not yet. When a couple entered the betrothal period, papers were signed and a dowry paid. The groom then toasted his bride before leaving to work on their future home. It was only when it was completed that he returned to receive his bride. And this was Jesus' strategy. With this third cup of redemption, Jesus toasted his bride. He assured her he was leaving to prepare her a place in heaven. And he even promised not to celebrate or drink from the vine again until her quarters were ready and until they were reunited together in his kingdom. And that's the promise that he's made to us. And that we won't celebrate this with Jesus until we do it with him in his kingdom when we get to heaven. Well, the last cup of the Passover Seder was the cup of Elijah. At the table on the night of the Passover, there was always an extra place sitting. And you notice down here at our table, we also have a place for Elijah. Malachi 4 taught that Elijah would come before the appearance of the Messiah. And thus each family needs to expect him and prepare a place at the table just in case he visits them on this night. And so again, the youngest child is sent to the door to see if they can spot Elijah. And so I need two volunteers tonight. Okay, who hasn't done anything just yet? Anybody? Well, Bentley, you're the only one on this side. Bentley, go ahead. And young man in the back, that young man on the back row, right there. What's your name? Yeah, right there. What's your name? Nick? All right, you go that door. Check and see if you see Elijah. You go to that door, Bentley. See if you see Elijah. Hurry. Check him and see. Did you look? Okay. I'm worried about Bentley. He looks like he might have seen him. What about it, Bentley? No. What about it, Nick? No. Okay, y'all get a piece of candy for doing that. Good catch. That would have been perfect if Sean hadn't reached up and grabbed it. Jesus and his disciples didn't drink this cup at their Seder, since in Jesus' mind, Elijah had already come. Remember, the Bible says John the Baptist came in the spirit and power of Elijah. He paved the way for the Messiah. But it's appropriate today that we include this fourth cup in our celebration, and we expect the return of Elijah, because you remember Revelation 11 implies that before Jesus' second coming, after the church has been raptured, Elijah will be one of the two witnesses that will appear and perform mighty signs as a testimony to the gospel. Well, the Seder closes with a benediction. It's the desire of all Jews from all around the world to celebrate the Passover in Jerusalem. That has also become the desire of the Israeli tourist industry. And so they say, next year in Jerusalem, is the familiar Hebrew saying. And so the father closes the Seder by saying, next year in Jerusalem, and the family joins in. We as Christians desire to eat the Passover next year in the New Jerusalem. I'm looking forward to eating it in heaven itself. We're waiting on Jesus to come and snatch us up to be with him forever. And then notice we're told in verse 30, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. How much fun would it have been to hear Jesus sing? You know, when we get to heaven, we'll get to hear Jesus sing. Have you ever wondered, was he a tenor, a baritone, maybe even a bass? The question that follows verse 30 is always, what hymns did they sing? They sang hymns. Which ones? The Passover Psalms were the Hallel Psalms, which included Psalm 113 to 118. Many of these psalms are prophetic of Jesus. They spoke of Messiah's suffering and rejection. And what an eerie, somber experience it was to hear Jesus on the threshold of the cross the night before sing about his next day's pain. We'll read just two of these psalms. Look on the back of your Seder book. I'll do the Father, and you read together the All. Here we go. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations. His glory is above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God? Who is enthroned on high? He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He makes the barren woman abide in the house as a joyful mother for children. And everyone, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. It's sad that the Lord, who is so prominent in the Passover, is still rejected today by most Jews. We need to pray for our Jewish friends that they'll be open to their Messiah. And yet the stone who was rejected by the Jewish nation has now become the chief cornerstone of the church and hopefully the cornerstone of your life. Jesus is worthy to be praised. The Father closes the Seder with a final prayer. Our Seder is now complete. May our service be acceptable to you, O Lord our God. And may we be granted the blessing of celebrating Passover for many years to come. Pure and Holy One, dwelling on high, raise up your people with love and lead us to Zion in joyful song. Amen. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the wonderful story that gets told every year at Passover. And the implications that reverberate down through the ages for our lives today. We love you, Lord Jesus, our Passover. May we purge our hearts of leaven and live a life, Lord, that is worthy of the calling you've placed on our lives. We love you, Lord. Give us grace, give us mercy, and give us boldness, Lord, to be the people you've called us to be. We love you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.